Greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program, month of April, Sunday the 13th of April. Now, we want to press again on the science of the universe, the African narrative of the science of the universe, and see the scripture as science. You have to connect it to Africa and then go into the definitions of the words. This is science we are reading, and the words are anthropomorphized. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Anthropomorphized, meaning given human characteristics, human characteristics, so that we can relate to the words. But every word has reality in the universe before any human being. So we are reading, when we read these characters, we are reading about how the Most High, through the hydrogen atom, is ordering the universe and bringing all the elements into order out of disorder and chaos and turbulence. So I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and there came four chariots out from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass. Now, let me say, we'll get to the chariots. There are four of them. But whenever we read about mountains, we should be thinking of Ptah. Now, there are two mountains. And so, in the Father, Son, and Mother, Holy Spirit, the Son is number two. And so, we could say this represents the actions in our physical structure, which would correlate with the mountain, because the mountain is a physical structure. And then we go to the Shabaka stone and the God Almighty Grand Unified Theorem, and we go to the book, and that's a video presentation by Booker T. Coleman and Dr. Gabrielle Oyibo, and then we go to the book Stolen Legacy, written by George G.M. James, and in these we understand that the second phase of creation is Ptah, the earth mound, rising up out of the waters of noon that are inside of the womb of Nonet. This waters of noon, material, mass, matter, having light, traveling at the speed of light squared, 186,281 miles per second squared. So you could look at it this way. Rather than 186,281 miles per second, when you square that, an easy way to think of that is take a second and half it. Every half second, rather than every whole second, 186,281 miles per second, every half a second, 186,281 miles per half a second. That speed of that light is moving fast. So, material, mass, matter, and light. The mountain is the material, mass, and matter rising up out of the waters of noon. That's the word of God, the word of Goddess, the power of the Most High. That's the power of the Most High through the word of the Most High creating the Big Bang that they speak of in science, but they do not teach us the cause of the bang. That bang coming forth because the earth mound is rising up out of the waters of noon, and now the waters were tranquil. Now there are waves, and those waves teach us of the word of the Most High, and word is sound, is power, and the word is word waves, and creating light, that's light waves. So they talk today of string theory, but the ancient African ancestors talked of waves. And so this earth mound rising up out of the waters of noon because of the waves and the word of the Most High, light and sound waves, bang, rising of the earth mound, mountains. So the two mountains, Ptah. Ptah represents the mind. This earth mound was called Ptah. And Ptah, in this time of turbulence and energy and chaos, is now going to investigate and think. And with the power of the mind of Ptah, working on sacred divine masculine and sacred divine feminine unity, will give birth to Atum, that hydrogen Atum that will bring order out of chaos, bring order out of turbulence. But these mountains were mountains of brass. And when you research the word mountains, see, you have to have your culture. You have to know Africa. You have to know Ruach Kadosh. You have to know that the spirit of the Most High permeates the whole of the universe. The force, power, energy, spirit of the Most High animates all the cells, all the protons, neutrons, electrons, every atom. And the atom is one. This whole universe is animated by the spirit of the Most High. So when you look up the word mountain, this is the pronunciation.
Strong's H 2022 had.
They say in their commentary, the Strong's people, that the ancients believed that God and the Most High lived in the mountains, the abode of the deities, they write here. But they say now, the strongest people, they do a good job, but you have to know your culture. They say this would have much more to do with superstition and idolatry than with revealed religion. So what they're saying is, when the ancient African Hebrews and the ancient African people taught us that the gods and the goddesses, the spirit energy entities, lived in mountains and lived in regions of the earth and lived in every region of the earth and lived in every region of the universe. See, the strongest people are coming from the European perspective of Christianity, which is a truncated thinking, because they don't see the Most High in so-called inanimate objects. The Africans didn't teach inanimation of objects. The Africans taught that all in the universe are animated with the spirit of the Most High. So we saw the Most High in mountains, in trees, in vegetation, in food. And we would pull on the force and pull on the energy entities of the Most High. Ila Tado, Brother Oba Tshaka teaches us in Integration Trap Generation Gap, that the African Twa and the African people would use the word Ilani, which means the goddess and the vital force of the goddess dealing with that mother principle. And so Ila Tado means pulling on the force. So we would see the whole universe, that whole material matter of the universe as alive, that whole mass, material, and matter that we call the universe taking up space, having mass, having weight, all alive with the spirit entity, deities, energies of the Most High. They consider that pagan. No, it is African teaching and African science. Now, they also talk about the Mount of the Sun, a city belonging to the Samaritans. And so we had mountains, and remember, Zion is defined as the sunburnt mountain. So the mountains are associated with the spirits of the Most High. And mountains are associated with the hydrogen atom. And so what we are looking at is the Most High, E equals MC squared, energy, spirit, sacred, feminine, electron, equals MC squared, energy, spirit, electron, mitochondria, DNA, equals proton, neutron, or material, mass, matter, times the speed of light squared, 186,000 miles per half a second is the speed of light squared. And so we're looking at how the Most High is organizing all of the elements of the universe through the hydrogen atom, aton, sun, ra, krestos, word of God. And the mountains were mountains of brass. Now, this is so interesting. We're going to see later in these next couple of verses about the construct of the temple. And see, the universe is the temple. And in the physical temple of the African Hebrews were precious metals, precious stones, having all manner of colors, and having the understanding of spirit energy entities associated with each stone and each material. And so this brass, let's hear the pronunciation. See, brass were in the mountains. It says, let me read it again, that the four chariots from between the two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass. Now, brass is pronounced this way in the African Hebrew language.
Strong's H5178. Nechosheth. Nechosheth.
This is a masculine noun. It is defined as copper and bronze, bronze alloy. And so this material is in the universe. And I'm going to the root word of this because I want to show us something. The root of this word for brass is this word.
Strong's H5172. Nachash. Nachash.
This is an interesting word, which is the root to the word for brass. This root word is to practice divination, to divine and observe signs, to learn by experience, diligently observe, practice fortune telling, take as an omen, to practice divination, to observe the signs or omens. Now, recall in Genesis where it talked about the sun and lights and various objects in the universe were to be used as signs and omens, which means to be used for fortune telling, to be used for divination. So this word for brass is rooted in the word that means to divine, to practice divination and fortune telling. That is not an evil practice, but it can be used for evil. The house of Rothschild, wicked ones, they have fortune tellers that use their gift for the wickedness of the house of Rothschild to construct death, hell, and destruction. But the Most High is sending forth four chariots from between two mountains of brass. And this element in the universe, this word is rooted in the word that means to practice divination, observe signs and omens. When you hear the scriptures say, do not do this, it means don't do this for the wicked one. Don't do this for the devil. Don't do this for the wicked ruling class. But the universe is here for us to see the future, to divine truth and reality. And this same power was in the temple. The brass is in the temple. Silver and gold is in the African Hebrew temple. And the high priest garments in the, is it Homer? I have a Christian dictionary, and they admit that the breastplate of righteousness, the clothing of the high priest, was used to divine, for divination. In Genesis, you read of Laban, who was related to Joseph. Laban was related to Jacob. And Laban said, I have learned by experience that you, Jacob, are good for me. That's this word nakash. That's this word divination and signs and omens. That's this word fortune telling. And then you read in Genesis again about Joseph, who was in Egypt, who had a cup of divination, and he divined and told fortune, understood the future, understood signs and omens from this cup, probably using water in the cup. And he is shown in scripture to be one that practices divination. He used this cup to set up his brothers to make sure that they treated his little brother Benjamin correctly. And the servant went after the cup because Joseph hid the cup in the luggage, you might say, of his brothers. And the servant says, why would you take my master's cup? Don't you know he can divine with that cup? I'm paraphrasing, but the word is nakash, to practice divination. And then Joseph himself says, I am a man that practices divination. Did you know that was in scripture? But that comes from the root of this word brass that is in the universe. That power to divine and tell the future and understand dreams and signs and omens. And when you go into the word wisdom in the Old Testament African Hebrew language, you come to see where it talks about understanding dreams and signs and omens. When you go into the words having to do with wisdom, words having to do with understanding, those types of words. So this is a power in the universe that is within each and every one of us, and we must go into that power for righteousness and for truth and for justice. Oh, it's something when you come to understand the truth of the scripture. But this brass is an element in the universe, and the Most High is sending four chariots from between the two mountains of brass. The Most High, through the hydrogen atom, given another name here, and we're going to see that name, but the hydrogen atom is aggregating the elements of the universe through Ptah, thinking, earth mound, and the brass, and divination, and the power to tell the future, and the power to understand and use the mind. Let me just riff on that right quick. You see, Ptah, the mountain, two Ptahs, two mountains of brass. He is using the sacred and divine masculine and sacred and divine feminine power of the mind to see disorder and chaos and turbulence in the universe. And so he goes into his mind. He goes into the brass, and he goes into the power of fortune telling, the power of divination. And he begins to conjure up, you might say, to bring to fruition, to bring to birth, to cut out of himself Atum. And Atum is that one that is the hydrogen Atum that will bring order to the universe. So we do the same. We go into our mind. Did you know that children? Let me see if I can see that brass again. Children are also to be used as divination. One of these words that when you go into it and see other words that have to do with divination, you see children or you see sons. This means that when you look at your children, you can tell the future. When you look at the babies, look at the attributes that are in the babies and in the children. Look at the power of the Most High in the youth. And we, if we tune up to the Most High in our babies and our children, if we tune up to the power of the universe in the babies and in the children, we will be able to divine and tell the fortune of the human family. And hopefully, we will be able to see a great future in the human family as we get in line with the science of existing and living and life. This power, we must not ignore this power. Verse 2. In the first chariot were red horses. In the second chariot were black horses. Verse 3. In the third chariot were white horses. And in the fourth chariot were grizzled and bay horses. This is so interesting. Let me keep reading. In the fourth verse, then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. Verse 6, oh God, the black horses which are therein go forth into the north country. The white go forth after them, and the grizzled go forth toward the south country. And the bay went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, get thou hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Verse 8, then cried he upon me, and spake unto me, saying, behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. Man, this is so heavy, sisters and brothers. Oh my God, can I break this down? Now, looking, let me see if I can see the word Lord. Let me see if I can see the word Lord might help me. Now, the Lord, now there's an angel that is called Lord, all lowercase L-O-R-D. Now, there is, the word Lord is used again where it says, these are the spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. Now, this word Lord is uppercase L, lowercase ORD, and that word is Adon. Now let me see if I can go back to the one that describes the angel. The one that describes the angel is also Adon, but in the English, the L is lowercase. Now, let's break it down like this. The angel is called Lord. The angels are spirit energies that come from the Most High. Okay? An angel is a messenger, a representative of the Most High, a personification of the Most High in the earth realm. Now, the one that is capital L, lowercase ORD, is not just an ordinary angel, but is a great one that is called Adon as well. So these are energies, forces that come from the Most High, but there is one that is greater than the little angel. This greater one is the one over all the earth. Now, Adon, where does that come from? Let me see if I can find this Adon and then go into the origins of Adon with Africa. Here is the pronunciation.
Strong's H113, Adon, Adon.
Now, in our world, this word can mean Lord and Master in reference to men, a superintendent of household affairs, a master, a king, in reference to the Lord over all the earth, Lord God over all the earth, in reference to lords and kings and men, again, master, husband, prophet, governor, prince, king, Lord of lords, husband, Yahweh, prince, king, father, captain, someone of superiority. Let's go ahead and take this next break. See you on the other side of the break.